Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
My friends, our church around the world celebrates the great feast of Divine Mercy Sunday. And this is a celebration in which we recognize God's overwhelming mercy that He has for each and every one of us. Now, Divine Mercy Sunday was instituted by Pope John Paul II in 2001 based upon the apparitions of Sister Faustina. In the 1930s, Sister Faustina, a nun who lived in Krakow, Poland, received revelations and apparitions from Jesus Christ Himself. And Jesus told Sister Faustina that she was commissioned to promulgate to the entire world God's infinite and limitless mercy and forgiveness that He wants to impart upon each and every one of us in this world. So, John Paul II recognized just how important this is and placed the celebration of Divine Mercy Sunday as close as possible to Easter Sunday. And so we celebrate it, the second Sunday of Easter. Now, why is this? Why celebrate it so close to Easter? It's because the only way that we can truly recognize, appreciate, and begin to fathom just how overwhelming God's mercy is for each and every one of us is seeing that mercy through the lens of Jesus' death and resurrection. Only through the lens of Jesus' death and resurrection can we begin to see that we have a God that will stop at nothing to give us His mercy and forgiveness. He will stop at nothing at all, even to the lengths of death on a cross, in order to save this world. That's the God that we have, the God that we worship. And how fitting the gospel for this weekend from the Gospel of John. It is the story of Jesus Christ's first appearance to the apostles after His resurrection. Appreciate the context in which this story is set in. Think of it for a moment. You are with your very best friends for 3 years. For 3 years, you are tasked with performing some type of function or accomplishing some sort of project. Now, for 3 years, you work with your best friends, day in and day out. You share meals with them. You travel with them. And during that time, you share your thoughts, your feelings, your joys, your disappointments. In that time, you draw closer and closer to these individuals. You form a tight-knit bond with these people. And now, you look upon them as a sense of support, friendship, and love. Now, for some unseen reason, a crisis enters into your life. You look for your friends for support, and suddenly they leave you. They don't call you. They don't come and visit you. You don't see them. Yet, you persevere through this crisis. Somehow, some way, you overcome the challenge. Now, you begin to see those friends again, maybe in the shopping malls, maybe in the store, wherever it may be, you begin to see these people once again. What's your first feelings? What are your first thoughts? Your first emotions? Anger? Frustration? Betrayal? Anxiety? Depression? What are the first words that come to your mind when you approach these people? How dare you? How dare you call me friend when you abandoned me when I needed you the most? Get out of my life. You are no friend to me. You betrayed me, my trust, my friendship, my love. See, now we begin to understand and appreciate the very beginning of this gospel in which it is set in. Jesus Christ appears to his apostles the very first time after his resurrection. What are his thoughts? What are his feelings? Anxiety, depression, anger, betrayal? What are the first things that he says to the apostles? Is it words out of anger? Words out of depression, denial, betrayal? No. The very first words that Jesus utters to his apostles are, "Peace be with you. Shalom. My mercy and forgiveness are upon you." Then it says in the gospel, he showed them his hands and his side. Now, why does he do this? And what are we to make of this? Well, Jesus is teaching the apostles the effects of sin and what sin has done. My friends, it is the sin of this world that nailed Jesus to the cross and crucified him. Better yet, by showing the apostles his hands and his side, Jesus is now mirroring back to his apostles and now to us the need for God's mercy in our life. The need for each and every one of us to hear those words, "Peace be with you. Shalom. My forgiveness and mercy rest upon you." My friends, this is everything God ever wanted from the very start of creation, to give us his mercy and peace. This is what all the Old Testament covenants were all about, that even though we are sinners, and the wounds of Christ are there to prove it, God still loves us nonetheless, and he forgives us. That's why Paul writes in Romans, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God." In the words of, "Peace be with you, shalom," we hear the words of mercy and peace of our Lord and Savior resting upon us. See, that's the beauty of this celebration of Divine Mercy Sunday. Yet what happens next in the gospel? Jesus tells the apostles, "As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Jesus now sends the apostles on mission. It is a mission of forgiveness and mercy. What they freely received from God, his mercy and forgiveness, his shalom, now they are to freely give to the world and tell the world, just like Sister Faustina was commissioned by Jesus to tell the world about God's overwhelming and limitless mercy that he has for each and every one of us. And so what is then the primary mission of our church? Yes, our church has many missions. Heal the sick, teach, preach, sanctify, distribute the sacraments, forgive sinners. Yet what is the primary mission of our church? What is the overwhelming and overarching mission of our church? It can be found in the Catechism. The primary mission of the Catholic Church is the salvation of souls. Therefore, we, like the apostles, must go out into the world and be instruments of God's mercy and grace. Allow people to hear those words, "Shalom, peace be with you," the words of Jesus Christ. Now, where is this most clearly seen? Well, in the lives of saints. The saints constantly recognize this mission and live it out each and every day of their lives. The saints are first to recognize their need for mercy and forgiveness of the Lord in their lives. That's why it's always said the difference between a saint and a sinner is the saint knows they are a sinner and are in need of God's mercy. And yet, once filled with that mercy, they go out and they become a conduit of that mercy for others in this world, so that others in this world may be able to understand, feel, and touch God's forgiveness and peace in their life. A great example of this is Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa in 1946 was riding on a train to Darjeeling to recover from tuberculosis. While on her train, she was praying, and in her prayer, Jesus Christ suddenly whispered the words to her, "I thirst. I thirst." Now, these were the very words that Jesus uttered before his death on the cross, and now he was speaking them to Mother Teresa in her prayers. Now, after prayer and contemplation, Mother Teresa finally began to understand what those words meant. When Jesus said, "I thirst," what he was telling Mother Teresa was, "I thirst for the salvation of all the souls in this world." Shortly afterwards, Mother Teresa established her order, the Missionaries of Charity, and she brought that thirst to the poor of this world. She brought the thirst of Jesus Christ's salvation of all the souls in this world to the poor, the homeless, the sick, and the dying. That's why if you go into any chapel of any missionary of charities throughout the entire world, you will see those words, "I thirst," written on the ceiling directly above the altar. I thirst. Mother Teresa recognized the power of those words, and she made those words the primary mission of her order. She brought the thirst of Jesus Christ's salvation of all the souls to the world. So you say to yourself, okay, now what must I do? Well, the answer can be found by going back into the gospel that we just read for this weekend. First and foremost, like the apostles, we must see the wounds of Jesus Christ and recognize the effects that sin has upon his wounds. Second, act upon that. We must go and seek Jesus' mercy and forgiveness. Go and exercise the great sacrament of confession, reconciliation. Reconcile ourselves with Jesus Christ. Allow Jesus Christ to say those words to us, "Peace be with you. Shalom. My mercy and forgiveness rest upon you." Allow those words to resonate deep within our heart, our mind, and our soul. Next, we are also commissioned, like the apostles, as well as the saints. We must go out into the world and be conduits of God's mercy and forgiveness in this world. Once we receive Jesus' mercy and forgiveness and are filled with it, then we must allow it to flow in us and through us and touch the lives of all the people we come into contact with, friends, neighbors, co-workers, relatives, whoever they may be. My friends, we must bring the thirst of Jesus Christ to all people in this world. We must bring the thirst of Jesus Christ, salvation of all the souls, to all the people that we come in contact with. That's now our mission. And may the peace and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.